The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, invites us to expand our lives by changing the lens we see through. Is something different calling you? Do you ever ask yourself, is this all there is? Or have you forgotten why you're even here? Trish and Diane create insightful and empowering conversations about connecting the self, soul, nature, and community. Navigating life by choice rather than circumstance is how we make the shift to expand our humanity. The shift starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change. We are on the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I'm Trish Campbell, your co-host, along with my good friend, Diane McClay. And we are here with episode 19. We're continuing our conversation on tuning inward, the resistance we've had around going inward, and we're really going to focus today on tuning into that inner voice that we sometimes ignore. First, I want to acknowledge the land on which I settle, where I operate my business from, where I live, and for me, that's Mississauga, Ontario, the territories and treaty lands of the Mississauga of the Credit First Nation, the Haudenosaunee, the Anishinaabeg, the Huron-Wendat, and the Ojibwe Chippewa. And we honor you for your modeling and connection to Mother Earth over millennia, being stewards of the land and offering us the opportunity to come to you today in this way. And I also want to invite Diane, my co-host, to acknowledge where she settles.
I'm in the Pacific Northwest, right on the border of Oregon and Washington, and the Indigenous peoples and First Nations that thrived on the lands that I settle and from which I do my business include the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs, Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, the Nez Perce, the Umatilla, and there are other little small bands and tribes of people that are unnamed and quite honestly, federally unrecognized, which means they actually don't receive the same benefits that the federally recognized tribes do. And so we believe that it's important to reduce that resistance. That's the word we're talking about today, about uncomfortable topics and atrocities of the past. And to reduce the resistance, we start to acknowledge and embrace and apply our knowledge.
Thanks for that. That's so important, Diane. And I think with that, how we reduce that is first we make that change and shift within ourselves. And that's what we're all about here is taking that perspective and awareness and putting it into action. And on our last show, like I said, we were talking about the resistance that we have to go, resistance we have to go inward. And it's kind of evolved into really listening to that inner voice when we do dare to go inward, and maybe if we do tune in, or sometimes we tune that out, and we get those inner nudges per se, but maybe don't always listen to them. So I think that was where we took this, or this conversation has kind of led us.
Yeah. If I can give you a quick anecdote from my weekend, I did another hike this weekend, and it's about a situation where somebody heard their inner voice, not once, not twice, but at least three times. And then another voice, something happened where they chose to ignore it. So my buddy and I were going to go find this waterfall. We drive up about 5 miles on this road and we run into snow. And it's at the point where there's tracks in the road, but they're icy. So my buddy says, I don't feel comfortable going forward. I'm going to back up and I'm going to park the truck where it's safe off the road. We can hike into the waterfall. So we hike in 1.5 miles and the road is only going more up in elevation and it's getting icier and the tracks are getting worse. And we're like, wow, we're really glad that we parked here. This is a good hike. We saw a lot of things we wouldn't have normally seen if we'd driven by it. On our way back out, there's a truck that is like 1/2 mile from the waterfall. So 1 mile past our truck, and it's stuck in the middle of the road. And the truck has no snow tires, no snow chains. He doesn't have a shovel in the back. He had a tarp and 8 gallons of water, which was weird. And he is just spinning his tires, trying to get out. We spent 2 hours with a plastic snow shovel and like a knife and a pair of snowshoes to basically shovel this guy out and then lay pine branches down and sticks to get him out. 2 hours. towards the end, you know, he's like, I'm really embarrassed. And I said, don't be embarrassed. We've all done something like this before. But I said, at any point in time, did you ever hear a voice in your head that said, maybe this isn't a good idea? And he's like, yeah, like three times. And I said, you do realize that you ignored some important information three times too many.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, oh, at that first turn, I thought I should back up. Oh, at that, when I crossed the bridge, I was looking for a place to turn around, but I couldn't find one. And then the third time he said, yeah, I just thought if I kept going, I'd find something. So the kind of the analogy of that story is he had the voice. So this is a man, 60-year-old man, not a woman, which my first point is men and women have this internal voice.
Right.
Now, it's not just women's intuition, right? But he had it. He heard it. He talked himself out of it. In fact, after he talked himself out of it the first time, he ignored it the next two times and it got him into trouble.
Yeah. That, right? How common
is
this?
What do you take from that story?
I think it's common. I think we do that often. I don't necessarily understand it. Like I know I've done that myself. I mean, I think part of it is, and I don't say I understand it because I do understand it. We tell ourselves stories just like we've talked about before that make us feel better about not aligning with our true inherent nature, with what our natural intelligence is telling us. So we, like to your point, we all have this. It's not women's intuition. Every soul has intuition. It's our inner guidance. It's our inner intelligence. It's our inner compass. We all know what we feel like when we're not in alignment with that. We try to tell ourselves stories when we're not, to make ourselves feel better about that misalignment. And so that's exactly what he did. He thought, oh, I can just, oh, and I've said that to myself too. Oh, I can just, I've seen red flags in a relationship before. And because I really liked the person and wanted it to work, I ignored those. I thought, no, he couldn't be deceiving, or he couldn't be whatever, what I was denying. And so that's just one example. There's many examples in our life that where we can kind of relate to that story of not listening to the inner nudge. And I think it's because we think there's a better answer outside of us, or something outside of us is going to save us or help us.
Or that if we just keep going long enough, it'll work out.
It'll work out. Yeah.
Whether it's driving through the snow, like if I let this thing go on long enough, eventually we'll come to the end or a turnaround. Like, let's literally use that road metaphor. If I let this go on long enough, eventually I'll find a place that I can turn around and retrace my steps. Well, relationships, work environments, the corporate world, it's like you're constantly on this elevated road where it gets more and more narrow and less easy to turn around.
Right.
And then when you decide you want to back up, we all know that driving backwards with a rearview mirror, hanging your arm over the shoulder and trying to steer while you're driving backwards is a whole lot harder than driving forwards.
Right.
So I want to go back to real quick, because in the story, we tell ourselves stories as we hear that intuition. But then in this guy's case, there was also, as soon as he got himself stuck and as soon as he had to get help from other people, now this is when he not only didn't listen to his intuition, but he beat himself up and he started creating the shoulds and the stories. I should have done this. I should have known better. I shouldn't have come up here. I feel like a dumbass. I should have. And I said, hey, you know what? While we're trying to get you out, none of that is going to be helpful.
Right.
Don't like, I need you to focus on a positive solution that with enough, you know, creativity, like I want, because that's what we talked about in our last show. I'll tie that in, but with creativity and intuition and awareness, where we paid attention to what was happening with truck tires and the differential and all that getting stuck. My buddy and I were able to put those things together and basically keep inching him out.
Right.
But the more he was beating himself up, the more he chastised himself, that judging you know, voice that said, oh, you're, you know, everybody's going to think you're dumb because you did this. Well, that was my initial thought, right? Because I'm like, oh man, what is this guy thinking? But as I was helping him, like, we have all just gone for a drive one day and not anticipated that something negative would happen. Right.
Right.
We've all, but, and when I left him, I said, here, you have a lot of information now. My suggestion is throw a shovel in your truck. My suggestion is maybe look at the tires on your truck to make sure that you have the tread to go up into the woods. Right. And make sure you have a plan. But more importantly, when that voice starts talking to you, listen.
Yes.
Tune in.
It is that I bet you he will think twice now about the next time that he hears that inner voice. I mean, hopefully, I mean, that has been my experience, and I've done it over and over again where I've like, oh, I wish I would have listened. Next time I'll listen. But then again, we start with the story, and it's so interesting that he was beating himself up over it on top of everything else that was happening. And I think, you know, that might be a point of resistance to going inward that we talked about on our last show as well, around what is it we hear when we go inward? Because are we hearing the inner reel of all of these things that we should have, you know, in shaming ourselves? And so I think for many people, maybe there is that, we take all the things that we hear externally and we bring them inward, and then that just like repeats on real, and it's not a comfortable place to be because we start to believe that. But I think the more we go inward intentionally and have that as a regular practice and channel our creativity, let's say, and have those more positive experiences with that, the more we can kind of strengthen that muscle to not knee-jerk react into this reel that's self-deprecating and not helping the situation at all.
I sort of hear you saying that you're talking about a ritual of sort of prevention. So and tell me if I'm wrong, but if we practice going inward in situations that aren't life and death, they're not, you know, job or no job, relationship or no relationship. But if we start a ritual, a practice of peacefully and lovingly going within and saying, hey, creativity, what do you have for me today? Or self, what's the information that I can learn? Then we build that muscle. And then when we do get into rough situations or awkward situations or even places that might be dangerous or uncomfortable, then that positive voice, that sage voice, is actually much more prevalent. It's higher, closer to the surface, and that judging voice actually gets reduced. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's the when we do that intentionally, and we have, going back to that last conversation around having this ritual, it helps us build a home within ourselves so that we're always in a place of safety and comfort, really, if we're tuning into that, as opposed to, you know, constantly looking externally for an answer for something when it's right inside of us all along, but we can't hear it because we're so tuned out from it. So if we have that regular practice of tuning in, we can, in those moments where, you know, we're kind of, let's say, stuck, or we might not know how to get ourselves out of a situation like the friend you encountered on your hike. We have that inside of us. We have that muscle inside of us that we can lean on to have some sort of stability in the moment, you know, inner stability, inner strength to get us to the next step, to get us out of it. So I think that practice of going inward and using all the tools that we have, creativity being one, that's a positive experience that strengthens that inner communication from our soul that always wants the best for us, that knows our potential, that knows that everything is always working out for us, even if it doesn't feel like it. We have that to lean into when we don't know the outcome of something. It's called trust.
As I'm listening to you, I heard a little muse in my ear whisper to me, finesse, not force.
I love that. Yeah.
Right. In the instance of this guy trying to get his truck unstuck, he was flooring the accelerator. He was trying to use the power of the truck to force his way through, you know, half inch tire deep snow and ice. And when my buddy and I were helping him, you know, we figured out where places were spinning, and I put pine boughs underneath the tires to get a little traction. And we had to teach him how to get a little momentum and kind of come up on the crest of the divot that he was in, and then stop, and then put the truck back in reverse and build a momentum and come up on the rear divot that he was on. Because what that was doing is we were finessing, we were now using the weight and a slow speed of the truck to get him out of the rut. But when he was forcing it with power, he was just digging in deeper. He was making it worse.
Right.
So I guess my takeaway today is finesse over force. I think it works every single time.
And I think you're more able to finesse when you proactively practice that inner connection and going inward and having that inner strength. And, you know, I think of your analogy, and as you're telling me this, I'm thinking of, we keep, you know, going back to the pandemic, but that's a big pivotal point for a lot of us in change in our lives. And for me, I had this practice of going inward and it might not have been in the expression of art, but it was through other, it was writing poetry at that time leading up to that. And I feel like having that regular practice of connecting inward and having that communication ongoing with my inner voice prepared me for a time of solitude and isolation and being separate from people and from things and the things that we're used to having in our lives. And so it's just, and it's not to say that I didn't have moments of instability, but I was a heck of a lot more stable in that time of uncertainty because I had been having the regular ongoing practice of connecting with my soul, with connecting inward in various ways. So as uncomfortable as it is in the beginning, it's always taking us to a new place of, we talked about expansion, but it builds on itself. And it's something that's always there for us.
And let's do this. I mean, you and I talk about this concept of connecting to self, and we have a practice and we have a ritual to do that. But let's brainstorm a couple things for our listeners that if they're not in the habit and they don't know where to start about how to create that connection, what would be some simple ways that they can just start creating that space? My first thought is that we block out time for work. And if you're a parent, you block out time for your kids, you know, music or sports activities.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it sounds like one of the first steps would be to literally put on your calendar, and it could be as simple as 3 minutes a day. At 7:03 in the morning, I am going to write or just sit quietly or meditate or pray or whatever that is. Block it on my calendar would be my first suggestion.
Yeah, I think that's good. And, you know, I myself going through my own experience, I'd be like, oh, I don't need to put it on my calendar. I'll just do it. But you know what? It doesn't always happen when it's not on. Like when I see a reminder, I have a reminder of another exercise I do for positive affirmations and writing out three things I value about myself in the morning. Just every day it's something different. And it's like, might sound silly, but I put it in. And so every morning I'm seeing that reminder. And every morning I'm doing it because I'm looking at our phones. We're looking at our phones. So why not put it in your schedule and remind yourself? And for me too, that practice of, like we talked about on our last show, of the creativity and the ritual I have around painting every week. And that became something like, I look forward to that time on Saturdays to have a date with myself. And it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship or not. I think everyone can benefit from having that alone time and self-exploration, whether, you know, through whatever creative means that, you know, feels good for you.
Right. So put it on your calendar. I think another easy thing, you know, you could write a couple, and Trish and I could help you with this as well. I mean, if you're looking for some creative writing prompts, you can get them off the internet, but we have some that work for us. You could always contact us. For some people, when I encourage people to go to nature, I ask them the question, when you go out on your walk, ask yourself, what do I observe? not what do I see? Because seeing is very passive. Our eyes are always taking in our surroundings and we're seeing things even if we don't know that we're registering. But observing kind of up levels that. You know, I observed a boy playing on a bike. Okay. And then what? What does that mean to me? What memory does that create? What feeling or emotion does that generate? Why is this important to me? Why did I notice these things? Right. But as soon as you challenge yourself to observe something, your brain is going to respond because it sees it as a problem and it's going to solve. So right. That's another thing people could do. I have a friend who is a coach and she has a very busy family life. She makes a point to get up at like 4:30 in the morning and her household starts to wake up around 5:30. She makes herself a cup of coffee. She's in a robe. She's in her living room and she takes that first hour of complete house quiet to connect to herself.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I started doing that recently too. I take a couple hours to do all the things to write to, and get up extra early to do it, but it's worth it to make that commitment because I find that as I've been doing that, writing, meditating, all like these, the combination, the stacking of combination of things that help me go inward, the more, centered and focused and stable I am in all, you know, the human experience throughout the day. So right. I think that's, it doesn't have to be all of the above. It can be one small thing for a few minutes a day to start with. It's baby steps are make just as big of an impact as the bigger steps. In fact, probably more because they're more sustainable. So that is one thing I always like remind myself and clients too, that it's the small, the things we think are too little and we might think they are insignificant are really what, when we turn around and look at where we've come, where we've been and where we've, you know, arrived at have been the most impactful.
Right. And, you know, let's tie that into the story, right? A lot of times people might say, well, this one little thing isn't going to make a difference. You know, well, how do you know? Like yeah. You won't know that it doesn't make a difference until enough time has gone by to give you evidence and proof that it didn't make a difference.
Right.
Right. But how do you know? So if you don't know for sure that it won't make a difference, maybe change your perspective and function as if it does make a difference.
It does. Yeah. And I think the other thing I want to share too is, you know, going back to building that inner home, like inside, I think is really important because at least from my own experience, I leaned a lot on the external. I built everything in my life was outside of myself. And when I started to take notice of that, well, it was a rude awakening, but when I started to construct that home within was like the most beautiful beginning of a transformation. And it just starts with one, doing one thing differently and having that awareness and that we always talk about, and then making the choice to do something different than I've always done.
Right. And, you know, I think that's true in a lot of our careers. Right. Because we're, you know, the external is the pay and the title and the climbing the ladder and the responsibility and the how am I seen? Mm-hmm. But if that gets changed or taken away from you, my situation changed overnight.
Right.
And I know that in the first year or two, I really struggled because I didn't lose my job. I chose to walk away from it, but there were some circumstances that challenged my value system. I was lost in the sense of who am I and where's my identity and where's my community? And like, who am I without this patch on my shoulder and this badge over my heart? Who am I without this framework of this industry that I served for so long? Mm-hmm. And the reality is that external got shaken up. It got changed and some of it got taken away.
Right.
But if I rely on me, then that's, nobody can take that from me.
You're that's so right. And, you know, it's because we get wrapped up in the story and that becomes our identity, whatever it is, everything is really a story and we tell ourselves and we get wrapped up in that. So it's really about, maybe unraveling that and writing, you know, a new one that's connected inwardly that can't be, that was one thing I said, this can never be taken away from me because it's always inside of me. And I think that's so important to, you know, to connect inward in that way. And I think, you know, we're probably going to keep on talking about this or letting this conversation evolve. And because there's so many places we can go with it. And I think I have one, but one of the places people can also start is, like we've mentioned before in our shows, is the New House app, KS Media by KS Media Group. And do that inner work and interconnection every week with the universal question. And it's a great place to start that conversation with your soul and connect deeper. Is there anything else you want to add? One last final thought, Diane?
Just listen, like tune in, listen. And when you hear that little voice, listen, ask, you know, hold its hand like you do with creativity. It's going to lead you in a good place.
Yes. Listen to the quiet voice inside. It knows the way.
Finesse over force. And lastly, you know, we want you to tune in on Fridays because this is TTR has an amazing lineup of podcasters and radio hosts who have really crazy important messages about saying the same thing about how to change your life. So tune in, stay tuned for the Cornelia Stephanie show. The basically Stories of Hope is coming up next. Dance to Heal comes up after that with Jenny C. Cohen. And then Dr. Burke, and I can't remember the name of her show, but
The Body Talks podcast.
Right. Seriously, tune into that one because we're talking about tuning in inside The Body Talks.
Exactly. Yes. Thanks everyone.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to The Shift Podcast, where perspective and our power to change intersect. Slowing down to look at things from a different angle is necessary to affect positive change. You hold the power to transform yourself and your life. It is already inside you and it's within reach. Clarity comes from awareness. Momentum comes from choice. Healing, growth, and transformation happen on The Shift Podcast. The first and third Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. For more information, go to invibe.ca or dianemclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.